Tonight I'm going to baptize our shrine, the shrine of not knowing. So before you enter the shrine, you can put down symbolically any ideas or preconceptions about what one might do in a shrine. But don't leave your heart at the door of the shrine. Take your heart in. Your heart, obviously, you couldn't leave your heart at the door, but trust what your heart says as you settle into this gathering, our gathering together, our togetherness. Something we all know deep in our hearts about sharing, and about what it is that we essentially share when we gather in a shrine. Feel your heart is like a little flame that you carry, each one of us, with our hearts, little flame. Maybe some flames are vigorous and some are a bit wobbly. But no matter, even some may be not burning, need to be lit again. And that's perfect. You can come in with your heart such as it is. Your longing. Your lostness. Or your devotion. And what you're devoted to, what you long for, or what you have lost may have different names, depending on what traditions depending. But really, it doesn't matter what the name is. What matters is really the longing or the devotion or the sweet sense of loss, of being lost. When I say sweet, I mean that when we allow the feeling of being lost, it opens our heart, it melts our heart. We become open. We become open to being found. And once you've established all that sort of, once you've settled in your heart, in our shared heart. There's so many ways we could say this poetically. Just relax. Don't make any effort to micromanage your experience. You just allow. And relaxing here means allowing whatever unfolds moment by moment. It's like being on vacation. letting every moment take care of itself and usher in the next moment. And because we're not referring to the past or projecting in the future, because when we're in the shrine, there's only the now. Or at least we can be open to that. Just this moment, this moment, this moment. So that a thought doesn't lead to another thought in the future, or doesn't refer to another thought in the past. A thought just appears in openness. Same with a feeling or sensation. Whatever it may be, however it may be labeled, no conclusions need to be drawn. No desire for something to be different. Or if there is a desire for something to be different, that is part of what is being allowed in the now. Let life take care of everything. She does no matter what, but there's a sweetness to cooperating with that. And the way we cooperate with that is a sort of multidimensional listening to our experience moment by moment without any agenda. Nowhere to go. And we welcome them. Totality of our experience, we're welcoming life. This mysterious unfolding. When we welcome the totality of our experience with this open quality, with this effortlessness, maybe we can begin to feel that there is no singular experience, everything is connected. Don't make any effort to make that your experience. Just be open to the possibility that it is your experience. Every experience mingling with every other experience in a kind of symphony. Which is a kind of miracle, honestly, don't you think? Make sure everything is included in this multidimensional allowing. Every micro sensation, every breath, the sound of Ellen's voice. If you find yourself with an experience that seems to have become detached from the totality, that would be known as either, it would be known as resistance, I guess, in the sort of spiritual jargon. But if you find yourself in that situation, just give that experience that seems to have detached itself from the totality. Maybe it's a tension in the body or a line of thinking that narrows your attention. If it's thinking, trace the thinking back to thinkingness. And then you're back in the realm of feelings and sensation. And if it's a resistance or a tension, just give it a little bit of TLC, meaning let it be detached for a bit. Give it special attention. It might be a feeling or an emotion or, you know, anything that has our very familiar labels, such as agitation, sense of lack, anxiety, contraction. The reason it seems to be a fragment is because somehow there's been a loss of direction, an identification, a problem. So here it's so very simple. We don't get too busy with why and how and when. Just go to the direct experience. Take it in your hands, in your heart rather, in your hand's heart. See, feel, know it intimately, without any desire to change it. Like your crying baby that you gather in your arms without forcing, manipulating, enfolding that experience into your love. And if it's a feeling in the body, you're enfolding it in your love, and by doing that, you are indicating to this resistance feeling, crying baby, that it is surrounded with unconditional welcoming. And then you allow your attention to return to this multidimensional welcoming you, so that that experience that had been singled out of the totality also can return to the totality. And you're back in and as openness. And as we become adept at being sort of, what should I say? How should I say this? As we become more familiar with this dance of attending to experience and then returning to this benevolent indifference, as Francis, my teacher, used to say. We become more adept, and it goes faster, it's smooth. It's like a mom who's had, or a grandmother who's had children before and has tended to so many babies, and so it's just, she can do it with her while doing something else. She can take care of the ailing, crying baby while cooking a big stew or gardening or whatever grandmothers do. I don't know. Everything, and ultimately the understanding, the feeling understanding, is that every experience is effortlessly part of this symphony, of this creation. And now feel your body, because often our bodies are that very object of experience which we feel is somehow separate. And then, of course, we identify with it and we feel that we are masterminding this body, which we think and feel ourselves to be. So let's see if we can relax that a bit. Feel your body exactly as it is in this moment, without any image or idea. Especially image, because we're very fat, we're very quick to visualize the body. If I say body, we can't help but have a sort of visual thought. So see if you can just approach your body without any ideas and any visual, just a raw tactile temperature. Sense of weight, temperature, I said it already, but that's a biggie. The body really is a mass of temperature, of heat. Feel the areas of tension. And I might name some body parts, but don't visualize them, but just so that we can really welcome the areas where tension obviously habitually live in the shoulders, in the head, behind the eyes, maybe in the jaw, maybe in the articulations of the hips. But then forget all those words, all those localizations, just welcoming the so-called tension or density. And welcoming means really this identifying with those areas so that they can be free to taste or to begin to taste the okayness that is all around, the openness. Feel your body's this mass of vibration, of temperature. Is being whispered to and told, you're welcome. Exactly as you are. You don't have to perform in the name of the separate self. You can flow like Ellen's voice, unpredictable. That's what we say to our bodies. And usually we feel our bodies as if in made up of parts, you know, our legs, our torso, our arms, our head. And there's a truth to that, but in this moment, feel your body as one singular cloud-like sensation. Just try. If you're gathering your body into one homogeneous but very alive experience. And maybe you need to whisper to your bodies and me as well to mine something about how beyond the sensation of this cloud-like body, it's not a dead void. That this body cloud, this cloud-like body, is appearing in a field, in something in infinite, invisible, but yet pure presence. Not only that, you whisper to your body, but you tell your body you are being born out of this infinite, invisible presence, moment by moment. And then you just see if your body would be willing to let go into the openness. Simple, like for example, the weight of your body, just surrender the weight of your body into the openness, into the not knowing. I am not my body. I don't have to hold my body as myself. I can let it go. I can offer the weight Offer the weight of my legs, of my arms, of my shoulders, of my belly, of my heart, of my face, of my eyes, of my forehead. Just letting go of this body, it can come undone. I am the openness in which this body dances. And here again, maybe the singular sensation cries for special attention, or the feeling of fear, anxiety, the feeling of no, I am holding on. I want to stay safe in and as the body. So you take your time. We each have our ways with these meditations. You take your time. You approach the crying feeling with a torch, a gentle torch. You go find it. You go make acquaintance with it. You say hello. You show it or place it in its safe, unconditionally safe home. You reunite it with every other member of the family, of the family of creation. If it's a tension in your shoulders, you could even reunite that tension with the upper back and the lower back, and then you sort of reunite that sensation with your pelvis, and then with the earth, and then the sensation of the earth you reunite with a quality of porousness, always moving towards a feeling or tactile sense of openness. And see how the body wants to be. You know, maybe the head wants to rest poised a little bit differently on the top of the spine. Ask your body, how do you want to be? Without moving too much, what posture most aligns itself with what Ellen is pointing towards? How do my arms want to be? How does the breath want to be? Feel the breath. Hello, breath. Just a simple coming and going of the breath. Each breath, each inhale, a miracle. Where is it coming from? And each out breath, like a wave dissolving back into the ocean. And you don't have to do it. It happens on its own. See if you can drop the weight of the body again. Your shoulders, your hips. I feel the earth. She's not hard. The feeling that the earth is hard is just a sort of residual resistance that I am the body and I have to fight to stay upright on the earth. Let's see if you can reunite the sensation of the pelvis and the legs and the feet with the sensation of the earth. Bring them together. Marry them. They already are, by the way. Marry the whole body with the surrounding openness. Now slowly just collapse the back a little bit, round your back. We're going to explore a little bit with movement. So just rounding your back, lower, middle, upper back. And then if you have room with your hands, very, very slowly, if you're on the floor, let your fingertips travel towards the back of your body. Very slowly, your fingertips, not aware of any destination. Feel your fingertips looking out for Scorpios, so very alive as they travel to your back body. And then you settle your hands with your thumbs pointing towards your back body. Take your time. Your back is still rounded. Now drop your shoulders into your palms, into your fingers, and then let your fingers penetrate the earth. It's all very sensual. The breath is free. It's like you're a choir master and you're hearing all these voices, the voice of the shoulders, of the weight, of the hands, of the breath, and somehow you're harmonizing things. And now slowly from the pubic bone, feel a line of energy rising. So don't do it, just feel it. It's rising and traveling up along the spine so that the torso is unfolding, slowly unfolding. It's a tactile sensation, like licking the space in front. And your elbows drawing towards each other, and it's a little bit of an arch between the shoulder blades. The face towards the ceiling. Long inhale, long exhale. See if you can drop the weight of the hips. Yes, and then slowly coming back. Very slowly, don't do it. You just listen to the spine, to the fingertips traveling back towards the front of the body. Discovering every moment, allowing the head, the chin, the breath, the legs, the air beyond the body, everything coming together, the sound of Ellen's voice mixing with the sensations of your body, yes. Everything subtle. Everything made out of the same mysterious stuff. Now slowly you're going to let your forearms slide off your lap. And the torso is turning very slowly towards the left. It's like a ghost. Empty, empty body. Don't go too far, because as soon as you go too far, the mover, the doer, the separate body self is here. So make sure you move back a little bit. Stay at that place where it's transparent. And harmonize with everything. Reunite everything. Now to the right side, slowly. Don't do it. No mover. You empty the experience of a mover. Make sure you stop right at that threshold. And if you go too far, you move back a little bit. Yes, and then your hands, by the way, can rest on your lap. And then make sure that you offer the posture to the totality. And then the torso now floating again to the center, but really everything's moving, not just the torso, the whole world, the whole universe. And then let your arms rest. Let them go, let them go, let them go. The surrendering of the weight is like a devotional prayer. When we surrender the weight, we're telling God, take me back into the totality that you are. Now again, forearms lifting off, very sensual. Feel the quality of the air, temperature. So your forearms are hovering above your lap. Let your hands relax completely as if they were going to drop down away from the wrists. Tingling, but don't visualize your hands. It's hard. Try just to be with a raw experience, a tactility of your palms, fingertips. If you see that your hands, if you have no visual, you don't quite know where they end. Let them be as radiant as they like, as big as they like. No borders to the hands. Tops of the hands melting into the palms of the hands. And then maybe, hopefully, the sensation of the hands is quite fizzy, quite bubbly. And see if you can slide that sensation up the forearms, up through the elbows, up through the upper arms, into the shoulders, fizzy arms. And now the shoulders are floating up towards the ears. Nobody doing it. There's no arms, there's just this gliding sensation. Make sure you drop that wrist. Yes, and now feel the whole, let them hover up there, your shoulders. Feel the totality of the posture, one sensation. Harmonize it with the space all around, and now slowly the shoulders empty back down. Very slowly, smooth. No jerky, no doer. The doer is what creates the jerkiness, yes. Let them go, the hands back down. Perfect stillness, keep emptying the body, opening the heart. The face. Feel your heart is in your face. Your heart is saying to your face, you can let go. The eyes, the forehead, the mouth, the lips. Don't have a visual, just a raw sensation. You whisper to the bubbles of tension that are embedded in the face. It has to work so hard on behalf of the separate self. You say, hey guys, she's gone. The separate one is gone for the day. We left her at the door of the shrine, so You can just have a party. You say that to the sensations of the face. Remember, you don't live in the face. You never did. Feel the eyes, the eyeballs. The eye cavities. Hello, and don't try to get rid of the tension there. Trying to get rid of tension generates more tension. Just welcome the tension. Now slowly we do neck rolls, very slowly. We don't do neck rolls, we just taste the sensation. No head, no neck, just a ripple and openness. Feel that you are the totality. Breath is free. Now the other way. Of course, there's a sense of doing. Ellen is calling out the movement. A thought arises. The movement arises. But if you think about it, it's a cosmic event. Don't think too much though, because we're not doing thinking too much. And now let the head return to the place where it dissolves. Let it go slowly. Just welcoming again the layers of sensation, of feeling, maybe some thinking. But maybe also a little bit more of a feeling that everything is held within a totality, everything unfolding as a web of experience. Nothing isolated. We sort of have to suspend the knowing. Even though I'm talking and I'm saying things that require a sort of recognition, but in between what I say, allow yourself to suspend any knowledge. A thought may arise, but you don't know what it is. What it is going to be. everything unfolding as it should, moment by moment. And maybe there's fear when we hear not knowing. Not knowing can trigger anxiety, fear. Separate self relies on it, on her knowledge, on his knowledge. And there's a case for knowledge. You know, we obviously, each one of us, on a more relative level, we know things. It's okay. The wave sort of knows where it came from in the ocean, and it knows things about the waves that are next to it. That's natural. But here we're exploring more the ocean, our ocean identity. So not knowing may reveal fear, tension. But that's fine. The fear, the tension, the anxiety are ripples. In fact, they're waves. But at some point we fall in love with not knowing. Not knowing means being intimately in the now. There's no space for knowing in the now. It's so direct. Even my words are so untrue because you can't even talk about it. And I should just shut up now. So I will, just resting here together, in and as the now. We'll take 5 minutes and come back. Thank you. Welcome back. Hi, Cannon. Hi, Brandon. Can't help it. Hi, Jennery. Hi, Sergio. Long time no see. Hi, Jana. Hi, Remco. Hamley. Hi, Leslie. Okay. Hi, Franziska. Franziska. So this we've got about half an hour minus 5 minutes for cocoa. So please feel free to speak, to ask or share. Just wave or put on the little yellow hand. I wish we could be together. Leslie, I'm looking at your face. I'm like, oh, I want to see Leslie. Yeah. Canon, go ahead.
My question is about raw experience of the body. Like if I close my eyes and if I go to the sensation of the body, it is very clear to me, like, if I ask the question, does it have a shape or form or the edge, that there isn't such thing as a shape and or form in the raw experience of the body. So it is concept if I say there is a shape or form. But if I go to the experience of weight or, you know, the experience of density of the body, to be honest, it's not clear to me. It is the concept from the memory. So it feels the body has a density. It is solid. It has a weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of real experience, which is inherent in the experience itself.
Well, I know what you mean. Like when you go to the experience called weight, you recognize you. We have a word for it, so it refers to a particular experience, right? But when I invite you to, when, for example, I say, what I am is weightless, awareness is free of weight, is unlocated and is pure openness, so therefore it's free of weight. Does that have an impact on how you experience weight and density? Don't do it now necessarily because we don't have time, but when during the meditations, the reason density and weight, to begin with, we all feel that. We all feel that, Canon. It's normal because we all identify to some extent with the body. And also there's certain laws to do with the way bodies are that, and gravity and certain laws that are actually organic and have corresponding sensations. So there's a certain quality of density and weight that's natural. But what's not natural is the holding the weight. I, the separate self, hold myself as this body, and I, that creates a certain quality of weight, which we try to allow in this exploration, and then because we allow it, we deliver it of this identification that is embedded within it, the me-ness that is embedded in that holding, because we look at it with the eyes of truth, we liberate the weight. So say more, a little bit more, Canon, about this feeling of weight. Is it a problem, or is it just a
no problem? Well, it might be a problem at times, but certainly not the case right now. I'm just asking it from the curiosity, like, what is the whole experience of body, you know? Is it the concept, or
because
is it...
there's a, the raw experience of the body, sometimes we might, for example, if you sense your palm, the hands, of course your eyes are closed, it's almost nothing, right? The hands are very subtle.
Yes,
And then
exactly.
if you go to sense your pelvis or your legs, it's a very different.
Exactly. That's what I'm asking.
That's what's presenting itself. You know, there's no need to change anything. And then sometimes there might be a little bit of cold air on, your face, and the next moment it's a warm feeling. You know, it's so rich, this so-called body, the so-called life. You know, it's filled with textures and temperatures, and so there's no problem with any of it. It what we try to, again, I'll repeat it, but the problem, and it's not a problem, but it's like what we're trying to realign how we perceive the body with the truth, which is this idea of non-separation, of totality, that everything's connected, that everything is made out of something very not dead, not inert. So that's the only thing. So if you feel like when we draw attention to the weight, and you can feel like, oh my God, I'm holding in my jaw. That would be an expression of separation at the level of the body. So that's why we might invite the weight to be let go of. But you still may feel something different here, then. And also that's why at some point it's a good idea to feel the body as a totality, like one cloud of sensation, because usually we feel so many different things. It's a patchwork. And then we can sort of play with this feeling it as a homogeneous, singular. And these are just exercises, by the way. They're just exercises. They're, as Francis once said, they're sort of tantric tricks. Just so that we can, on the one hand, catch the habit of separation, which is usually a holding, protecting, defending, asserting, we catch that. That's one of the reasons why we do these tantric tricks, and we don't do anything when we catch it. We just see what it is, really. It's just another layer of, right? And the other thing we do is we realign how we perceive the body with what we know to be true, and we see what happens. We're doing quite a lot of things during this yoga, even though we're saying we're not doing anything. We're doing quite.
In the fact, the experience of the body during this exploration is such a fulfilling experience, to be honest. It feels so good.
Okay, well, that's good, I guess. But it's
Yeah.
not the point. But actually, it is the point, because a body that's aligned with its truth, with its true substance, is a body that feels good. A body that's relaxed, that's.
Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you, Canon. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Don't be shy, and two participants read. Mark Asmussen. Go ahead.
Hey, Ellen.
Is it your first time, Mark? I think I've seen you before.
Yeah, I think I've been on one and a couple of them in the past. I think I went to a retreat once, probably in the summer. But yeah, I guess like there's all these techniques and pathways and whatnot. And I'm just curious, for how do you develop a sensitivity to know which path to take when, or which technique to use, with what? It seems like it's something that kind of develops over time, but I don't feel like I've ever really heard someone talk about it like explicitly.
How do you choose your pathway back to where?
Well, these techniques, these tantric techniques, these,
yes,
you know.
I mean, you know, in a way, you don't choose them, they choose you. It's more like that. They choose you in the sense that you, techniques are not, the pathways, I think that you're, the first thing that chooses you is the truth, you know, the truth, well, the truth is what you are, but we here, if we have had, some of us here have had a glimpse of our true nature or have had an intuition, we, you know, we didn't choose that. We had nothing to do with it. So that is an amazing thing. So it's a funny thing. Like you meet a teacher, you didn't decide to meet that teacher or that, and you do, and then it resonates. So then you go see that teacher or you go to that particular, you know, and you find yourself. And it's the same, you know, it's the same with anything to do with this adventure of sort of understanding what we truly are. It's we don't choose any of it, but we find ourselves following our deep interest, and it does take us somewhere. Usually we do find ourselves sort of drinking at a well, and maybe some of us, we go to this well, we go to that well, but at some point hopefully we settle at one well because the water is very good and it's and we can deepen, you know, this staying with one teaching or one tradition is not a bad idea because these traditions are ancient, and it's like you know they've been enriched through the dedication and the sincerity and the wisdom that is accrued. I think traditions are very mysterious. True traditions, they're very. So I don't know if that helps you, Mark. I would say follow your interest. Follow those pathways that draw you.
Yeah. I think that's where I've been leaning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't do anything if you don't feel like, don't meditate for the sake of meditating or whatever, or, you know, like because it, or I mean, you can, but it's like going to school, you know?
Just, I think that's helpful. Just kind of where your interests are. Mm-hmm. And you kind of develop that sensitivity by just going down those routes almost.
You don't develop your sensitivity. You reunite with your sensitivity. Your sensitivity is here.
It's already there. Okay.
I think I'm just trying to sort of debunk in you. There's a little bit of an end gaining habit, which we all have, by the way. You know, like you're trying to get to somewhere, which it's very understandable. But I think I'm trying to encourage you to start from your heart, from your sensitivity, from your or from your longing, but don't do it because I want to develop my sensitivity. Do it more because I want to find God.
Yeah.
Or it has to be a burning desire. But I'm not, you know, I'm saying this, but I don't know you, Mark, so I'm just hearing a little something there that I hope it's helpful.
It is very helpful.
Okay. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Hi, Sergio.
Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Happy to be back in this meditation. So I've been doing this kind of explorations with your guidance for a while, and I've been starting to do them by myself during the day. So for example, I'm walking to work, or I'm eating, or at any random moment, the desire comes to feel the body, as awareness. But it's been really complicated to do my own explorations because, for example, I'm trying to do some experiments with how the eyes feel, for example. And it's really complicated for me because I feel like I can only be pure awareness, allowing everything, or be the little mind trying to do experiments. So it's really weird because when I am trying to do the exploration by myself, I feel like two, you know, the allowing presence and the little mind that is trying to be curious about things. And I've catch myself sometimes when I do the explorations by myself, getting too much attention into some contraction. And maybe I sometimes make the contraction bigger. So my question in a few words is how to do my own explorations without getting caught in the curious mind and without prolonging some areas. So it's really kind of complicated to decide when to let
I
go.
It's a great question, Sergio, and because I think I remember feeling that too, and still do. First of all, I want to say sometimes if you explore and you say, as you say, the little mind, like you want to explore the eyes and you get completely lost in a sort of you're focusing on the eye cavities and the eyeball, and you get, it's, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think when you're on your own, what I would suggest is to pick a few postures or a few breathing exercises ahead of time, or a bit of free movement, and then just follow that as a pathway. Sort of do what we do together, so that you can sort of relax. Your mind can relax. It's everything's taken care of. You already know what you're exploring and how. And of course, if you get fascinated by something, well, then so be it. You catch yourself a bit down the road, and trust it, Sergio. I'm not too concerned about it. I think you're a purist, and you know, as soon as you leave the absolute. But you know, if we're doing these exercises, by definition, we're doing. There is going to be two. We are doing something. It's but it's all a cosmic event. You know, you don't. It's all unfolding perfectly, and I think you, Sergio, you enjoy this sort of sometimes the eyes doing this and that, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's because it can be very creative, you know. Yes. And it then paves the way to you writing a nice poem that you can read to us, or
yes,
and the fact that you're concerned.
Mostly the part that I try more to experiment with is a sexual area because I have a lot of tension there. Yeah. And sometimes it gets really intense and I don't know when to let go to that area and go to the experience of the body as a whole or when to keep exploring there. So sometimes I feel like the desire to experience the body as a whole, but sometimes I feel like the desire to retire the attention from that area is that it's uncomfortable. So I don't know the difference between those.
Well, I think, for example, first of all, if there's a lot of tension or sort of residual trauma in an area of the body, it's valid to give it some loving attention. Which that's got nothing to do with what we're doing here. It's just, or it does because it's about love, but you just give it some loving attention. Don't worry too much, Sergio. Just bring some healing through breath, through, I don't know, through whatever means, even sometimes body work with a practitioner, you know, or, and then at other moments when you're exploring from this absolute perspective, then you then maybe yes, then you move away. We've just lost your image, but I know you're still. In this context here, you wouldn't want to stay focalized on your sexual area for the whole session. You would encourage that sensation to be reconnected with the totality of your experience. But all of those things are not, you have to go lightly, lightly. And again, trust yourself, Sergio.
Thank you, Ale.
Because trauma, it's long-term unfolding. And in a way, you don't know how it's going to unfold. You sort of have to be quite humble with it. It sounds like you're doing very well, Sergio.
Okay. And yes, sometimes I do the meditations to relax the trauma. But as you say, I'm kind of a purist and I love to do a free movement of pure awareness. So I think that it's gonna be great to make the difference between giving love to the area and the different context of what we do here. Thank you, Ellen.
Okay. You're welcome. I think we don't have any. Did somebody else ask? Is that you, Mark? I'll mute you. We have time for one more question, and otherwise we'll shift to Cuckoo. Okay, Cuckoo, I think you're on.
Hi. Well, it's good actually, because I have three. They're short, but Ellen, something that you said, it will lead perfectly into them, I think. You said, surrendering the weight, telling God, take me. And I thought that's such a, in a way, a lovely sort of continual preparation for death, not in a morbid sort of way, but in a tending sort of way. And, you know, not surrendering our weight, but also in this exercise, it was lovely, and also like our thoughts and the heaviness of our thoughts and the heaviness of a feeling or even a point of view, like just surrendering that to God, saying, take me. I loved it. So thank you. So these three go together toward that. This first one is from Donna Markova. I will not die an unlived life. I will not live in fear. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days, to allow my living to open me, to make me less afraid, more accessible. To loosen my heart until it becomes a wing, a torch, a promise. I choose to risk my significance, to live so that that which came to me as seed goes on to the next as blossom. And that which came to me as blossom goes on as fruit. And then.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
And so, thanks. This David White wrote this poem, Revelation Must Be Terrible. And I had to just kind of let go of my, all my thoughts about that title and how it ends and just go with how, what it brings and how it, what it opens.
Lovely.
Revelation, yes. Revelation must be terrible with no time left to say goodbye. Imagine that moment, staring at the still waters with only the brief tremor of your body to say you are leaving everything and everyone you know behind. Being far from home is hard, but you know, at least we are exiled together. When you open your eyes to the world, you are on your own for the first time. No one is even interested in saving you now. And the world steps in to test the calm fluidity of your body from moment to moment, as if it believed you could join its vibrant dance of fire and calmness and final stillness. As if you were meant to be exactly where you are, as if, like the dark branch of a desert river, you could flow on without a speck of guilt, and everything everywhere would still be just as it should be. As if your place in the world mattered, and the world could neither speak nor hear the fullness of its own bitter and beautiful cry without the deep well of your body resonating in the echo. Knowing that it takes only that first terrible word to make the circle complete. Revelation must be terrible, knowing you can never hide your voice again.
Woof, amazing poem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing poem.
Which leads
That's
to...
So
which leads to this poem from this boy sage, who described himself as a poet, a peacemaker, and a philosopher who played. Maddie Stepanek, I think that's how you say his name. Maddie Stepanek was 13 when he died. So I don't know how old he was when he wrote this poem, but I think he lived for much of his life in recognition that his death was imminent. So he wrote many poems and several books of poetry, but I've only read a little bit, but I'm sort of in wonder at him. So this poem is part three of a poem called About Living. I wanted to live to be 101 years old, but that is no longer my goal. When I die, I die. I cannot predict, I cannot control. I cannot change what is to be, which is what it is and will be what it will be. I wanted to live, to be, and not die. But while I'm alive, I live to the fullest. I treasure each sunrise, each sunset. I dance every dance, and I sing every song, and I celebrate every moment. I wanted to live, to be. And I'm spending my time on earth before death living rather than dying. And not wasting a moment of the precious gifts of time and of life and of being for now. So.
You feel free to unmute yourselves, people, to They're really beautiful, these poems, really, really powerful.
I love the last one.
Beautiful, thank you.
Thank you very much, Corinne.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Corinne. Beautiful.
Those were lovely.
What a treat.
You emanate their beauty.
Oh, that's so true. Okay, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Pippa. Nice to see you. Bye bye.
Yeah, thank you, Ellen.
Bye bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, Brandon. Bye, Tara.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, bye Sergio.
Thanks, Ellen.
Thanks,
bye bye. Bye, Jennifer. Bye, Remco.
Bye, Leslie.
Bye, Helka.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Helka. Bye, Ben.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Ben.
Bye.
Bye, Helka.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, Sophia.